This podcast is brought to you by KVH Industries, which creates and delivers the innovations that enable our mobile world. A global leader in mobile connectivity, KVH's groundbreaking, award-winning solutions enable people on leisure boats, yachts, and commercial vessels to stay connected to business, family, and friends using innovative hybrid communications and content. Founded in 1982, the company is based in Middleton, Rhode Island, with research, development, and manufacturing operations in Middleton and sales, service, and engineering offices around the globe. So, Sophia, a small KVH quiz for you.
My favorite kind.
Customers with KVH antennas can enjoy cellular support in how many countries?
Off the top of my head, I'm going to say 150 plus.
Over 150. That is right. As far as 32 plus kilometers from the shore. The KVH Superyacht Group offers white glove concierge service.
If people aren't wearing white gloves, then I'm not interested in the concierge service. That's my rule in life. And I reckon that type of service is available 24/7.
24/7, every day of the year around the globe. KVH Elite, meanwhile, is KVH's premium VSAT service with dedicated bandwidth for HD quality streaming for yachts and charters.
What HD streaming would you be doing this week, Stuart?
Well, I've got to finish Succession.
That's relatively classy for you.
Yeah. And, we've been watching something called The Night Agent, which we need to conclude as well. I've got a lot of TV to catch up on. It's been busy these last few weeks.
Well, you need KVH.
Need KVH. Check them out at kvh.com, at Facebook at KVH Yachting and Boating, on Instagram at KVH Yachting, and you can also see them at KVH Yachting and Boating on LinkedIn. On with the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Boat Briefing. My name is Stuart Campbell, and here to help me navigate through all the news from the world of superyachting is Sophia Wilson.
Good afternoon. Which of us do you think sounds croakier today?
I'm definitely croakier.
Do you think?
I don't know. Say something that's particularly croaky. Say croaky.
Croaky.
No, I'm way croakier than you. I'm sorry. Today's all about not falling asleep at our desks because we are fresh back from the World Superyacht Awards and what a raucous, riotous, wonderfully celebratory weekend it was over in Istanbul. Unusually, we're recording this on Monday because we wanted to do it as fresh as we could to the event itself. In a minute, we'll run through all the winners and talk about the event. But I just wanted to extend a special thanks to our amazing events team for coordinating what was another really, really spectacular weekend. It was just a brilliant moment. Everyone was buzzing. We had 500 odd people there. Everyone was in a great mood, mostly. And another World Superyacht Awards ticked off. I absolutely loved it.
Yeah, they really pulled it out of the bag. It was completely seamless. And I'm always so impressed because I do understand how stressed they are. But if you see them wandering around the event, they have this sort of wonderful smile on their face. Is it like swans that are calm on top with legs underneath? But it's a very impressive skill.
Yeah. They've got a professional smile. Everything could be going horribly wrong, but they're still smiling.
I need to work on that.
Yeah, me too. It all concluded yesterday. There was a small bit of the program yesterday where some of the World Superyacht Awards judges and other guests were treated to an amazing track day at the Intercity Circuit in Istanbul. I flew back last night, as did you. Some of the team are still there, flying back today. But let's talk through the weekend.
How much of the weekend?
I think warts and all, Sophia. I think we talk about your 5:30 a.m. morning on at the after party.
Yeah, you know something's wrong when the call to prayer is going on and you're going to bed. That's a sign that you've made some bad life decisions.
Yeah, there's a few people looking a bit worse for wear at the airport yesterday. So let's wind it back to the beginning. So it all started on Friday with a welcome reception at the Mandarin Oriental, a beautiful new hotel right on the Bosphorus.
Yeah, it was really exciting. When I was travel editor, obviously the PRs for Mandarin Oriental were talking about this new property that was going to become available in Istanbul. So it was really exciting to see it.
Yeah, it was. It's a great hotel. And The venue for that cocktail was at this wonderful terrace, right on the water. We had a band, we had sword dancers. Some of the photography is pretty amazing from the drone that was up as well. And yeah, it was great.
Yeah, the drone had a few tense moments because the seagulls were chasing it. Don't know whether you spotted that.
Well, actually, on the next day, we took the judges out on a boat called Halas, 1971, on the Bosphorus. And the seagulls were trying to chase down the drone as it was chasing us. It was quite funny to watch. So that was the first night's entertainment, which was wonderful.
I say the service there was amazing.
You're right, it was, yeah.
I had a new friend. He just used to appear with a glass of rosé. He clearly clocked that I liked a rosé. And he just would arrive. It was wonderful. I'd like him to follow me everywhere in life, actually.
Was he following on 3 o'clock on Sunday morning as well? No. So that was first night. And the next day, there were various activities. So the judges, like I said, we took them out on Halas 1971, this beautiful old classic from 1914. Really lovely afternoon spent on the water. And lots of other people decided to take boats out as well. You guys were out on a boat as well.
Yeah, so I went out with some of the staff members because I went to the hotel concierge to ask what kind of tourist boats were available to go on. He said, "Do you want a boat? I can get you a boat." Okay. How much? And actually, it was very reasonable to have a boat. So we took out a, not quite as splendid as yours, but a private boat. We did have one slightly interesting moment where we were flagged down by the Coast Guard with sirens on and all, and weren't quite sure how that was going to end. Because at the time we were on the Asian side of the city and quite a long way along the Bosphorus. But we handed over papers, they handed the papers back, and we were allowed on our way. So I'm still not sure what went on, but there was a tense couple of minutes.
Did you think it was just your waiter chasing you with more rosé?
Yeah, I was disappointed, actually, if anything.
So fine, your glass is empty.
Yeah.
So that was Saturday afternoon. Then everyone got dressed up in their finest for the gala evening. How did that begin?
Did you spend a lot of time on your hair?
No. Although, yeah, I know, I was tempted by some of the hair transplant offers I could see around Istanbul. So everyone met at the venue, which was obviously the Turan Palace, which is a truly stunning building. Again, the judges arrived in great style on another boat, dropped off on the dock there, and a few others were as too. One of the Mazu guys turned up on one of their boats, and then in a great marketing opportunity, just hung the Mazu right off the terrace where everyone was having a drink. Well done to Hallett and the team, very clever. Everyone had a drink. There was some ballet dancers performing down the stairs of the Turan Palace. And again, you know, everyone looking very, very splendid indeed.
It's a beautiful setting there.
Oh, so nice. And weren't we lucky with the weather, because it was looking pretty grey in the long range forecast when we were looking at Istanbul. And then fortunately, serendipitously, on the Friday night, the sun didn't quite come out, but at least it was warm and it stopped raining. And then on the Saturday night, as everyone arrived at the Turan Palace, the clouds parted and the sun shone on all of us, which was really quite nice.
Yeah, I really hadn't looked at a long-range forecast, which proved to be slightly problematic for the trip, because I was off on my summer hollybobs. I thought Istanbul, May, off we go. But Istanbul was a little chilly. But as you say, the best parts of the weather were actually during our events.
Yeah, we were so lucky.
Sun shines on the righteous.
Yeah. And then the evening kicked off. We did a charity raffle. So we raised quite a lot of money for this wonderful organization called CYDD, a local charity which supports children's education in Turkey, but also has been working very diligently supporting those affected by the devastating earthquakes early this year in Turkey. So that was great. We had some wonderful prizes donated, everything from a Henry Poole jacket or blazer to a six-night stay at this amazing new resort called Secrets in Tulum, Mexico. A top brewer coffee machine. When I found out what that was worth, I was taken aback. I mean, it's so expensive, but a wonderful piece of kit. Private jet flights and various other things. We had 10 prizes in all. The charity raffle was hosted by Eddie Jordan and supported by Sabrina Monte Carlo. So those two were up on stage drawing the lots. And there were some very, very happy people in their room as they as they won some of these spectacular prizes. And then it all kicked off. The winners were revealed over the next hour, and then it all ran into the after party. So before we get into the winners, highlights?
Highlights. I don't think we've mentioned yet that obviously the whole awards were held in association with AcYacht. And I have been fortunate enough to know Mr. Ack of AcYacht for a few years now. I first met him on board Victorious when she was at the Monaco Yacht Show making her debut. And it was Victorious actually came past while we were having our drinks outside. And I was lucky enough to speak to Mr. Ack a few minutes after that. And it was clear how much it meant to him to have the World Super Yacht Awards in his home city with his super yacht passing by. I mean, it can't get much better than that. So that was a really special moment. And I really felt the significance for him of kind of having brought the awards home. So that was a lovely moment. My man with the rosé, obviously, key highlight. I thought the food was exceptional. We had lamb for the main course and it was delicious, very good. And then I had quite a lot of fun at the after party and then the after party, which ended up in a club very close to the hotel where we were all staying at. You were also there, Stuart, so I don't know why you're looking quite so blameless in the after party.
I went home before the after party, though.
Yeah, the after party was potentially unnecessary in hindsight, and I should know better. But it was fine. I had a few hours sleep on the flight home, and I was made sure I was perfectly jolly by the time I arrived back in the UK to my husband and daughter, because I don't think it's really acceptable to be away for the weekend and then come home complaining that you haven't had any sleep.
Yeah, it's bad form, that.
Yeah, it doesn't win you many brownie points or friends.
You're right. The Victorious passing in front of the Turan Palace was a great moment. And many thanks to AcYacht and Vuralak for being the title partner of the event. And a shout out to Kvanch as well, the shipyard manager over at AcYacht, who is a faithful podcast listener. In fact, I loved hearing how many people listened to the podcast at the event. It was fantastic.
I find it utterly terrifying. I like to pretend that no one ever hears what we say. It's the only way I can cope with it. But obviously delighted that we have loyal listeners.
Yeah, no, I loved it. I think it was fantastic. But without further ado, let's talk through the winners. And we'll start, we'll run in the order of how they were presented on the night. So we'll start with refitted and rebuilt yachts. Rebuilt was announced first, and that went to Marala, the 58-meter Camper Nicholson built Pendennis rebuilt motor yacht. The owner was in the room with the Pendennis team, and they were all absolutely delighted to kick off the evening with a big win for Marala. Then the refitted yacht was announced just after that, and that went to the 63-meter sailing yacht Athos, which was refitted at Royal Houseman.
She's the cover of our June issue.
She is the cover of our June issue.
Perfect timing.
Yeah, perfect timing.
I have a question on this, which I probably should know, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Is there always a split between rebuilt and refitted, or does it just depend on the entries that you get that year?
Entirely depends on the entries. And it's the judges in the room look at all of them in one single category, and then they kind of divide them.
Okay.
Once they've all familiarized themselves with the statements and pictures and exactly the process of the refit, the rebuild before the event, before the judging event rather. So they come into the room and we've got a good idea of what boats should go into which pot. And then basically at the judges meeting, yeah, like I said, they divide them up. And a rebuilt yacht, I mean, it's fairly obvious. It's not always completely clear cut what is refit and rebuild. But in the case of Marala, it was, I mean, that was absolutely a rebuild. I mean, they took it back to, you know, bare metal, you know, replaced a lot of hull, dug out, you know, loads of lead from the bowels of the boat. Whereas Athos was a bit more cosmetic interior refit, and they bolted on a bit more boat to the back and extended it a little bit, but it wasn't a tear down and restart. It was a bit more cosmetic with a bit of hot work and steel work included. So definitely a refit. So two worthy winners then of those two categories, Marala Spectacular, Athos similarly. We then went on to the sailing yacht category, and again this started off as one pool of boats, but was then split up by the judges into up to 50 meters and over 50 meters. So who, Sophia, won in over 50 meters?
So over 50 meters went to Aaliyah.
That's right. The 56 meter Vitters, designed by Manny Frez and M2 Atelier on the inside. Beautiful boat built for circumnavigating the globe. So the owner wanted super comfortable boat, easy sail handling, uncluttered decks, low heel angles. And that's what he got. Really, really spectacular, modern looking boat.
She really stands out. I like to play a game on my table at the awards where I get everyone to predict the winners before, as the categories are announced. And everyone picked Aaliyah.
Thoroughly deserved Neptune for Aaliyah. And then the under 50 meter category, the winner was Sorvind, the 34.59 meter Southern Wind. Again, the owner wanted a comfortable cruiser racer. Super sleek, fire yacht design, Nauta design on the interior. And Andrea Michalian and Martino from Nauta got up on stage and were delighted with that award. So congratulations to the Southern Wind team, fire yacht designer Nauta, on their Neptune 4 Sorvind.
So then we moved on to the semi-displacement or planing motor yachts categories. So in the 30 meter to 34.9 meter, it was Blue Jeans that took it. And she obviously has those great photos of her in front of London Bridge.
Yeah, there are a few boats with great photos in front of London Bridge this year, actually. That's right, 33.74 meter Blue Jeans, built by Van der Volk, with Guido de Groot design and Diana Yacht Design collaborating on that build. I think she was a pretty clear winner in this category, Blue Jeans. Just impeccable build quality. Just so, so well put together by Van der Volk. The judges were thoroughly impressed. Super modern interior, really cool, contemporary. Yeah, great boat all round.
And then the next category up was 35 to 41.9 meters, and that went to Rush.
Yeah, the Balietto, 41.7 meter Balietto. Paskowski design in collaboration with Margherita Casprini on the interior. Yeah, punchy boat, Rush. Fastest yacht in its class, topping out at 29 knots. Three big diesels driving her. And really, really nice interior. She's quite an aggressive looking boat with a raised pilot house, super sleek. And a very, very contemporary interior that was very well put together in Italy by Balietto. So congratulations to everyone involved in that project.
And then the last category in this is obviously 42 meters and above, and that went to Callisto.
Yep, the Fed ship, sister ship to a larger Callisto.
Oh, I hadn't appreciated that she's the sister ship.
Well, not strictly a sister ship, family. It's in the family.
Family, yeah, sorry.
That's right.
I really like Callisto.
Yeah, classic looking boat. DeVoit, naval architect, Studio DeVoit design, and Sino on the interior. It's just a well put together machine, this one, and just looks very, very lovely. Not the most contemporary looking yacht, but very stately. Owners very happy and got exactly what they wanted. So congratulations to everyone involved in that project.
So then we moved on to the displacement motor yachts, starting with 30 meters to 39.9 meters. And the winner was?
Yep, these are the 30 to 39.99 under 499 GT. The winner in this category was Unknown, the yacht belonging to none other than Zlatan Ibrahimovic. So congratulations to Zlatan wasn't there, unfortunately. It would have been great.
You'd have one celebrity, though, at the first night. And I didn't know who this person was, but since everyone's told me, the...
Salt Bay. Was he there, was he?
Yeah, Toby's on his Instagram.
Oh, right. I didn't see him. He's got a billion Instagram followers, that bloke. Unknown. Congratulations. And it's just a really lovely boat, Unknown. This is a tough category because it also had, Enterprise, the Balietto, Never Say Never Again, the Bonetti. Two Bonettis in this category, actually. Lady Fleur from Extreme Yachts and Chapter 3 from New Marine, but it was unknown, the 34.36 meter Benetti that the judges favoured. Benetti Kazerski on the interior, RWD on the exterior. I think the judges just loved how this boat flowed into the water. That's the whole concept of this boat. The whole aft end is this kind of lovely transition from interior to sea. Great interior spaces, really novel layout from Benetti Kazerski. They obviously worked on the larger Oasis, 40-meter Oasis design too. Yeah, really lovely boat. Hard to argue, I think, with that one. So congratulations to everyone involved in Unknown.
Then still 499 GT and below, but onto 40 metres to 44.9 metres. And that went to Akala, which is, of course, CDM's Explorer. She, at Monaco, everyone that went on that yacht had good things to say. So I wasn't surprised when I heard that she was the winner.
Yeah, I don't think, you're absolutely right. Everyone was glowing. Raving about this yacht, the Monaco Yacht Show. And the judges were too. They really liked her. The owner had a previous Cantieri de la Marque before, so knew all about the shipyard and what he was dealing with. He had a Darwin 102, loved what they did with that. So went with them for this custom project, Akala, 42.9 meters, naval architecture from Hydrotech. Exterior design was by Horacio Bozzo. An interior was by Simon Hamui Design Studio. Caroline actually wrote about this Akala recently for the mags, and she was glowing as well.
And the feature's now also online, so we can put the link in the podcast.
We will.
It's on one of our beautiful new rich media designs, so you can see her in all her glory.
All her glory. Read about her now. She's a really, really nice boat, Akala. What's next?
Next is the final 499 GT and below category, and that was for yachts 45 metres and above. And the winner there was Heesens Ocean Z.
Yep, three boats in this category. They were Private GG from CRN and Barmy from Mengi Ye, but it was the Heesen Ocean Z that ran away with it. A Clifford Den exterior and a Raymond Langdon interior. I was really pleased that Heesen won this. It's been a few years since they picked up a Neptune. And it was thoroughly deserved in this category. Ocean Z's really nice boat. The owner bought her partway through construction, but in enough time to kind of put his own stamp on the interior. So congratulations to everyone involved in that project. She's just a really well put together.
Yeah, I had some of her crew were also on my table, her captain, and they were obviously delighted that she took home the Neptune.
Well done,
everybody. I think they might have had an after party as well somewhere. Well, they were heading that way.
They deserved it. Good for them. The bigger displacement motor yacht categories now. So displacement motor yachts, 500 gross tons to 1499 gross tons. The winner was Sophia.
It was my favourite. Come together. I was really pleased to see her win this award. I loved this yacht when I looked around her at Monaco Yacht Show and obviously wrote the feature on her. But I was actually in a way a little bit surprised that she was the winner, because she's a lot more understated than particularly her winch interior isn't as obvious as some of the other interiors, but it's so beautifully done with the detailing, and I'm so pleased to see that rewarded. And I think what they've created with that AML 60 model, I mean, you can tell by how successful it's been already, is really exciting for the market.
Yeah, and they were delighted, weren't they? We had a really good turnout from Winch. AMLs and Espinoino design, they were up on stage and celebrating hard. So congratulations to everyone. It was a tough group, this, actually. They're also Alchemist, the 61.87-meter San Lorenzo, Jules, the 53-meter turquoise, Lucene, another Heesen at 60 meters, Rio, 62-meter CRN, and Shinkai, the 54.9-meter Fedship, were also in contention in this category, but it was Come Together that came out on top.
So then we moved on to the largest, and I think fair to say, probably the most competitive category. I mean, it tends to be kind of every year, doesn't it? So that is displacement motor yachts, 1,500 GT and above. And the winner was...
Kensho took out this one in the biggest displacement motor yacht category, the 75-meter Italian Sea Group yacht. A few design studios and engineers involved in this one. Azure Yacht Design and Naval Architecture, Arkaneers Berlin, and Juan Mancu on the interior. I think just a really, really special boat, Kensho. I don't think anyone would disagree with that statement, but it was a tough group, like you said. Energy, the 77.8 meter Amels. Juice, the 71.1 meter Fedship. Leona, the 80 meter Bilgin. Nebula, the 68.2 meter support yacht from Astilleros Armon. And Project X, the biggest boat in this year's competition, 87.6 meter from Golden Yachts. We're all vying for the title in the biggest displacement motor yacht category, but it was Kensho that the judges landed on.
So then we moved on to the Voyages Award, which this year was won by V6 for a journey that they had done in sort of North America. And there is some incredible photography that supports this. And they also seemed to kind of, it was almost like a wildlife safari down North America. They saw bears,
seals, all sorts. That's right. Yeah, the 48.5 meter motor yacht built by G&K Yachting. This boat does not stop. V6 does a huge amount of miles, and the entire journey that they did was mammoth. But the particular bit that the judges considered was the Alaska leg of the voyage, and they had a great time up there. Like you said, it's the Voyages Awards nominations that do well are ones that are best documented with pics and video and really clear statements about voyages and what was seen and experienced along the way. And congratulations to the V6 team for submitting a great entry, and the judges really appreciated it and the detail they went into.
They entered a few years ago and didn't win for another journey.
That's right. Yeah.
And I actually wrote a big feature about that journey that they did. So it was really nice to see them rewarded, because as you say, that boat just doesn't stop. And I think I'm right. I'm going to have to double check my memory now. I think the owner was new to yachting when he bought the vessel. I think he'd maybe chartered a few times before and was new to yachting. So it's amazing that he's come into yachting and is really using the boat to go and see some of these amazing places.
That's right. It was basically a COVID purchase, yeah, wasn't it? And then they got in the boat and they don't seem to have stopped ever since. Few other animals spotted along the way: moose, otter, beach barbecues. They went, they were all over the place. Yeah, congratulations to V6, the owner and the crew of that lovely Explorer. Looking forward to seeing where you go next.
So we then moved on to what is always a special moment in the evening, and that was the Legacy Award, which this year was won by Rami Koch.
Yeah, congratulations to Mr. Koch, a very popular winner on the night. It was great that we could give it to a local. So the Legacy Award's all about awarding an owner who has, you know, a long and storied and proud history of building or rebuilding or restoring yachts, has given a lot back to the industry, supported a lot of jobs, has a proud track record in philanthropic works, and is a bit of a legend. Rami Koch absolutely ticks all those boxes. His current boat, Nazanin 5, Sparkman & Stevens designed, 52 meter, built at RMK, his very own shipyard. And that's one of a thousand boats that he's had or restored or built over the years. So congratulations to Mr. Koch, a very, very, very worthy winner of the Legacy Award. So we should also mention there are a few commendations. So these are kind of like the second place almost trophies. They're beautiful crystal Lasfit trophies. So these boats that have got very close to winning their class, but didn't quite. And the judges wanted to recommend them or acknowledge their almost success in those categories. And the first commendation went to Melody, the 41.5 meter sailing yacht from Redas Yacht. The second one went to Ace, the 44.27 meter motor yacht built at Konrad in Poland.
With my Polish heritage, I was obviously pleased to see that Ace got some recognition.
Yeah, me too. The judges really liked that boat, and she didn't come second by much. The next commendation went to Lucine, the 60 meter Heesen, who was a very close second in her category. So congratulations to Heesen and everyone involved in Lucine. And the last commendation went to Juice, this beautiful 71.7 meter Fed ship, who lost out to Kensho. by not too much. Yeah, lovely boat juice. Congratulations. And then there were three judges' special awards as well. So these are boats that get Neptune trophies for particular excellence in a special area where the judges wanted to recognise them particularly. So there were three. Shinkai, the 54.9-metre Fed ship, got a special award. Coral Ocean, the refitted Lursen, 72.5-metre motor yacht, got a special award, as did Nebula, the 68.2-metre support yacht.
I'm pleased that Nebula got something, because if you asked me of a boat to remember from 2022, effectively, because that's when the nomination submitted from, Nebula would be one of the first that would come to mind. So it's nice that she got a Neptune.
Yeah, I agree. Really cool boat, Nebula. I saw her actually down in St. Bart's not too long ago. She's just, you know, absolute form and function and beautifully combined in that boat. And the way the owner is... thought about crew needs with Nebula particularly, I thought, made her especially worthy of a special award. And that's it. They're all the winners of this year's World Superyacht Awards. You can read more about why they won and the judges' impressions of each winner on the website now. We'll include a link. And I just wanted to say thanks to everyone that came along. I really hope you enjoyed what we think was a pretty spectacular weekend. Congratulations to all the winners, but also all the nominees, really. It's great to have you involved, and a special shout out once again to our sponsors, and particularly AcYacht for joining us on this journey once again.
Yeah, and the social media coverage is also still ongoing and continuing. So there's lots of pictures and some great video imagery as well from the event over the weekend. And a shout out to Adam and Naomi from my team, who did a stellar job at covering this weekend's events, especially Naomi, who did 8 hours during the award ceremony in heels that I think I probably could have only walked about 8 meters in. So she deserves credit for that alone.
Yeah, there were some spectacular shoes on display, especially because half the time the traffic was not moving, so it was just easier to walk everywhere.
So yeah, Naomi did actually walk back from the event to the hotel in the same heels.
Oh, God. She should get a special award.
Yeah, Neptune for Naomi next year.
The other reason we're recording this on Monday is because my week is just getting crazier. So I'm off to Finland tomorrow to go and see Baltic and Swan. Then on Friday, I'm going down to Cannes to see this new electric foiling boat that you might have seen pictures of from a German tech company called Tide. So they've teamed up with BMW to build it. It's kind of a foiling trimaran, shaped like a trapezoid. So it's got a range of over 50 nautical miles at 24 knots and a max speed of 30 knots. It's a wild looking thing. And I'm reminded, you know, in the original Lion King movie, the bird, Zazu.
Yes.
It's like a toucan or something, I'm not sure. Anyway, Zazu has a beak. And I feel like this boat, when I saw this boat, I thought it looks like Zazu. Or rather, it looks like Zazu's beak.
Wow. Just a little insight into Stuart Campbell's mind, everyone. Wow.
Great movie.
Well, yeah, I'm actually in the UK this week, although I am going next week to Italy for an event that Heesen are hosting to show off Project Venus. So I'm looking forward to that. Looking forward to having a week at home, but yeah, back on the road next week.
Let's move on to this week's brokerage pick. You've gone historical.
I've gone historical. I've fully gone down your road. Shall I go first?
Yeah, you go first.
So I'll go first. So my brokerage pick is the 24.3-metre Conidor, and she is actually facing the possibility of being scrapped after several years being stored at the Classic Works shipyard in France. She's steeped in history, so she's 84 years old, and she was part of the Little Ships of Dunkirk, which was, of course, the fleet of around 850 privately owned vessels that sailed from England to Dunkirk to assist with the mass evacuation of troops during the Second World War. She's currently actually owned by Classic Works because the yard purchased her in 2020 to avoid her being scrapped. But with the mounting costs of sawing her, they're saying that they can't keep her much longer. And instead, they're really hoping to find an owner that's prepared to take on this extensive restoration project, which they estimate will cost north of about $2 million.
Sounds like a project for Remy Koch.
Yeah, he should have been there that evening. Could have pitched it to him. So the yacht, for a little bit more background, she arrived at the yard in 2009 for a bit of refit, but the owner then never actually commissioned any real work, according to the president of Classic Works, Eric Ritter. The yacht then changed hands in 2015, and the new owner was interested in doing a small-scale refit and reput to put her on the charter market, but he then finally asked them to dispose of the yachts to put an end to his storage costs. The yard said for this, it was unthinkable, so we stepped in to absolve him of his outstanding shipyard obligations and purchased her for preservation. They say she is a historical monument, which is now looking to be restored. Yacht design and engineering firm Butch Design has put together a detailed proposal for the restoration, complete with a recommendation and options for almost every single element. Apparently, she still has most of her hull, planking, and many of her original tech, including her Gardner engines and a stabilizer system, likely from the 1950s. She was, of course, delivered in 1939. They haven't said what price they're looking for, but I'd imagine it's not very much. It's the restoration costs that you have to consider. But she's just such a cute looking little thing. And I'd be really sad if she's scrapped. So I hope she finds someone to love her.
I'm sure she will. There's a lot of lovers of these Dunkirk little ships out there. Yeah, it'd be great to see Conador picked up. She is a good choice, but mine's way better.
I mean, you've got completely the other end of the spectrum.
So in an epic, epic moment of sucking up, I am choosing Victorious, the 85 meter from Ack Yacht. As a way of, small way of saying thank you to Ack Yacht for supporting us at the World Superyacht Awards. She is asking 110 million euros with Fraser. And I want this one to sell because when it does, Mr. Ack tells me he's embarking on a very exciting new project that will blow everyone's socks off when they hear about it. And also because the yacht, like you said, cruised past our gala evening blowing its horn. That was a nice moment. So the story of this yacht is worth repeating for those who missed the feature on her in the magazine and online. So Victorious started life in Chile, of all places, in 2006 as a 77-meter explorer known as Gin Tonic 2. That was, as you'll appreciate, just before the global financial crisis. So when the build ran into difficulties, the project was picked up by New Zealand businessman Graham Hart, who would eventually go on to build the two Ulysses projects in Norway. So some work was done on Victorious in New Zealand, but the project stalled again until it was spotted by Vural Ack, whose previous yachts had been a 30-meter azimut and a 50-meter CRN. So he looked around for a yard to finish Victorious and add 6 meters to her length. But after 6 months of fruitless searching, he eventually gave up and hit upon the idea to start his own shipyard and finish the boat himself, which he duly did. So 4 years later, Victorious was delivered in 2020 by the newly established Ack Yacht. She had exteriors by Mick Leach and an interior by H2. She's got loads of amazing features, including perhaps most impressively a wood-burning fireplace in an enclosed upper saloon. There's also a huge beach club, a dedicated kids' room and tons of tender and toy storage. Suiting her Explorer line, she has a range of 24,000 nautical miles at 7 knots, which is comfortably trans-Pacific. And can voyage 14,000 nautical miles at a slightly swifter 13 knots. She's also available for charter, I should mention, from 800,000 euros a week. So that's my 85 meter pick. Go grab Victorious today.
Yeah, I feel like I've spoken about Victorious a lot on the podcast because I always did the yacht feature on her as well. But she's very cool.
Very, very cool. All right, let's whip through some headlines.
Well, before headlines, before main news, I felt this deserved its own separate section. So I've created it. I don't know what section we're going to call it. The big brokerage section.
Sapphire's special award.
The Sapphire special award. So I don't normally cover that much of the day-to-day news because I have the amazing Holly and Katia who are all over it. But last week they were both out. And while they were both out, this dropped into my inbox. And I thought, oh, gosh. Going to have to do something about this. So this is the news that the Italian Sea Group and IYC announced that it sold not one, not two, but three new 70-meter GC4 superyachts in one sale to the same Greek family. So this is the Admiral Superyachts, which was designed by the Italian Sea Group's in-house Centro Steel. Features smooth lines, expansive deck spaces, and lots of glass. Each of the yachts will have 7 guest cabins, 10 crew cabins, and the delivery of 3 yachts is expected to take place in consecutive years, starting in 2026. I mean, it's pretty remarkable. I don't think I've heard of this type of thing. That's 210 meters of yacht in one sail. I mean, it's going to shift the Q2 brokerage numbers for a start.
I did a double take when I saw this story. 3. I thought, that can't be right. So then, obviously, you read it again. Yeah, 3. like you said, 210 meters of brand new superyacht sold in one brokerage transaction. Phenomenal.
Well, I didn't, when I first saw it, I thought they were just talking about sort of partnership that they'd done over several months or a year or something. And then it suddenly dawned on me that it was one sale and I probably had to do something.
Yeah, damn it. I actually have to do some work.
Yeah. Congratulations. It's a remarkable sale. So congratulations to all involved. And we'll look forward to seeing those yachts delivered from 2026 onwards.
Quite right.
So moving on to the actual news, the first story is that Italian shipyard Tankoa Yachts has announced the sale of its first TX450 Explorer model, with delivery expected in spring 2025. The custom project is a new take on the 45-metre Tankoa 450 concept, which was conceived by Giorgio Cassetta. While initial renderings of the TX450 remain under wraps, the shipyard revealed that the design will feature a graceful profile, unmistakable in line with Tankoa's design DNA. Spanning four decks, the standout features of the TX will include two pools and a large beach club across three levels.
Three levels? Wow.
So it's currently in the final stages of design engineering and construction is due to start shortly. Tankoa currently has eight other projects currently in build, so busy.
Busy, busy. Next up, we have the news that Golden Yachts has completed the launch of its 78-metre motor yacht, Araya, marking the third yacht to be rolled out of the sheds at the Greek shipyard this year. The contract for the new build was signed in 2021, with longtime Golden Yachts collaborator Stefano Vafiadis designing a contemporary plum bow that differs from the flared bows of previous models, the likes of Opari and Opetasia, and elongated trapezium-shaped windows. Key features of Araya include a large swimming pool that sits transversely on the main deck aft, with three skylights at the bottom that filter natural light through to the beach house waterfront lounge below. Vafiadis also handled the yacht's interior styling in collaboration with Italian studio Massari Design, who most recently worked with the shipyard on its flagship Project X. Araya will make her debut at this year's Monaco Yacht Show in September.
Did you know why I gave you that story to read?
Because you didn't want to say Opetasia.
Because I really messed it up last week. And there are multiples in there, and I thought, no.
I'm still not sure I'm saying it right.
So next up, we have the UK-based shipyard Arcsun has announced that its 26.2-metre Explorer yacht Project Pelagos has been launched from its facilities in the Isle of Wight. The privately owned superyacht, which is the second hull of Arcsun's flagship fleet of the 85 Explorer, will now start sea trials ahead of delivery to her new owner. The Arcsun 85 is described as an efficient long-range explorer capable of long voyages. Designed by naval architect Humphreys Yacht Design, the explorer features a hull and superstructure constructed from recycled aluminium that can then be reused again at the end of the vessel's life. She features an interior by Design Unlimited, which has been specifically customised to accommodate friends and family. The Arcsun does have another 85 explorer yacht under construction, Project Ocean, which is also expected to launch later this year.
Brilliant to finally see one of these big arcs. I can't wait to have a look. I saw her. I went down to the Isle of Wight last year. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was last year, and saw her in build. So very keen to see what the finished product looks like and the design particularly, and just see how she behaves on the water, because the shape she is suggests very efficient sailing indeed. So it'd be good to look at the figures see if they support that. The last story this week is that Vanquish Yachts has launched its flagship 35-metre VQ115 Veloce Superyacht from its facility in the Netherlands. Very cool-looking boat. The high-performance motor yacht hit the water on the 15th of May, having been originally commissioned in October 2020 by a repeat client. Three engines and an efficient peat-step hull from Studio Delta makes this yacht one of the fastest aluminium yachts on the water, delivering a top speed in excess of 40 knots. A sporty exterior features a slender hull and integrated flybridge, courtesy of Guido de Groot. Guido de Groot, obviously a recipient of a World Superyacht Award this year with Blue Jeans. Congratulations, Guido. The interior design, also by de Groot, has been described by the shipyard as futuristic with a casual groove. Wow.
That's how people describe you, Stuart.
That is the first time we've ever used the word groove on this podcast. It's the first time I've used the word groove since about 1993.
You should use the word groove.
Marine blue is used throughout with teak floors that run from the aft deck through the interior.
This has done really well on the website because people just love the way she looks. So it's exciting. Congratulations to the yard.
Yeah, great looking boat. And that's it. That brings us to a close. No data this week because data guru Raphael is currently in Turkey with Cecile, touring shipyards, interrogating project managers, counting hull numbers, and generally making a nuisance of himself. So please be nice when Raphael turns up on your doorstep asking you questions about what's going on in your shipyard. It's all for a worthy cause. Alrighty, Sophia, thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Thanks again to everyone we saw over the weekend. And yeah, see you all again soon. This podcast has been a production of Boat International Media. It was mixed and produced by Naomi Wilson. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to like and subscribe. I'm off to get some sleep. See you next time.
Finland awaits.